Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Brings it all back, doesn't it, that theme tune, the opening track to ER, the Chicago-based medical drama. It ran for 15 seasons, and when it aired first back in 1994, it revolutionised small screen drama. It became the chief of TV medicine. Money was pumped into that show to make sure that it had high production values. And viewers at the time were bowled over by the technical dialogue that forced them to become engrossed in all of the stories that they covered. So we wanted to ask today, what makes a good medical drama and how close to the real thing do they actually get? So we have a real live medic with us. Dr. Maura Finn is here, Clare-based GP. Delighted to have you in the studio.
Thank you,
Maura.
Claire.
And we have Fionnuala Jones, who's a presenter and broadcaster and someone who was chair dancing to the theme tune of ER.
What a banger!
You're a big fan.
What a banger. I love ER. I had initially watched it like as a kid when it was airing on RT1. I didn't get the Glen Rose. I got the like ER Excites because I was like, how long will my mum let me watch this before I have to go to bed?
Yes.
Right? But I started rewatching it from the very start during the pandemic and I just became obsessed. It's so good and it's really stood the test of time. Especially
That's what I wanted to ask you. Like, is it still good?
I think so. I think because it really like it really balances the interpersonal drama of all the doctors with it actually feeling realistic. And a lot of the reviews from it at the time and even retrospectively have said that it is very realistic to the day-to-day runnings of a hospital. Like, it's very stressful. You don't really get to know any of the patients because it's very like in-out, treat them or in-out. Unfortunately, some of them died. You know, it was just like patient after patient after patient. I loved it. It's so good.
Because it's always been a criticism of TV dramas, medical dramas, that they're just not true to life. And medics like yourself watch them more and you go, oh God, that would never happen. But ER was different.
Yeah, I actually did a bit of a straw poll with my WhatsApp kind of Gobby Girls group, you know, from college. And without fail, they all loved ER. And we just did. Now, it may have been because of the timing. It came out in the 90s. We qualified in 93. We felt we were part of ER, but we were not. You know, we were dragged way behind it. But it was so relatable from the point of view of the stress, like you say. The characters were really well drawn. They were very kind of flawed and imperfect people, which is so realistic. But also the medicine in it was actually quite accurate. Now, some of it was actually, you know, we were, like I say, you'd look at something and I'm on a CT and we'd be waiting 2 weeks to get a CT for somebody, you know, so it wasn't that realistic. But at the same time, it was very compelling and we all really enjoyed it from that point of view. Where some things, you know, medics look at drama, medical dramas, the same as anybody else, but we have the added bonus of being able to criticise it and say this is realistic or authentic or not. But ER rarely got criticised.
Well, it's like me watching something in a newsroom or you know, any sort of a journalistic. You're going, that would never happen, and it's frustrating to see it. So it's really nice to watch something that is true to life because they had the social inequality, access to the problems with access to medical care in the United States in particular, the madness of the waiting room. All of that was reflected in ER, wasn't it?
I thought that was really fascinating about ER, and it was probably the first time that we realised that there was real social inequality in the US, because up to that point we believed it was what we all aspired to from a political point of view. But actually, medical healthcare and insurance policies and seeing that people would not be treated or had to be kind of found ways around the treatment. So that was really interesting. So there was a learning in that as well. But also it was aspirational in other ways in that, you know, they had resources that we have now. but how many years later is that?
So you'd be seeing them ordering a test like the CT or something else. We're going, if only we could.
If only we had one in the hospital.
Right.
I'm sorry now, I've probably gone a bit too far.
No, that's fine. Listen, it's the realistic experience we wanted. But listen, lest anyone think that we're the only people talking about ER, Dr. Carter is making a comeback, Fionnuala.
Dr. Carter is back. Yeah, no while. He's coming back in a new medical drama for HBO next year. It's called The Pit, and it's about a hospital in Pittsburgh and the day-to-day lives of the people working there and everything else going on. I think we have kind of, we don't have a lot of details on the characters, but he's the lead character and he's heavily featured in the marketing. So people are obviously eating this up because people loved Dr. Carter, myself included.
It's it's amazing, isn't it? So many years later that they're working on spin-offs.
Yeah, it's a testament to how well it has stood the test of time. Even for me, like, you're 15 seasons, you'd wonder like when the quality kind of flags. You're talking, I don't know, up to season 12, it's still pretty good. And then when the cast kind of changes, it's a bit like, I'm not as invested in these people. But that's good going for a show that ran as long, if we're to compare to like Grey's Anatomy, which is now into its 21st season. I think we were talking before we came on air, like, you're in the 400s of episodes there. Like, surely, like, quality has to kind of like go down at that point.
Well,
like,
talk to me about Grey's Anatomy then, and where does it stand in the pantheon of medical TV dramas?
My personal opinion is that it was just too polished. Now, one of the
it's
positives,
so polished, yeah, in a bad way though. I
yeah,
think.
In that grittiness of ER was far more enjoyable, you know. But one of the positives though was the first female leads we saw, female doctor leads, and I thought that was a very good positive. And it was interesting that, I mean, the surgical kind of cutthroat, trying the competitiveness of that, that was reflected of real life, but and the stress and the exhaustion, they kind of did show some of that, but I just thought it was too polished. And as the McDreamy characters, I mean, as much as I loved them, and some of the romantic ideas behind it weren't very, it was a little too glamorous.
Yeah,
in ways,
I think they went too far into the interpersonal there, which is where it's kind of, and I know the Grey's Anatomy people are going to scream at me, but the issue, like, I just find it mad when Grey's Anatomy fans are like, oh my god, it's amazing, but they won't have watched ER. Like, ER was the blueprint for Grey's Anatomy. I feel like I'm on the ER promotional board all these years later, even though it finished in 2009.
You're on there, yeah.
But it's just, yeah, wait. But I think there were also things with, like, there was accidents like every 4 weeks in Grey's Anatomy where half the staff were dying, you know, like helicopters and tsunamis and all that jazz.
That's
like,
it was the thing. Just, you need storylines, you know?
You just, do, just Claire,
being,
but
just
I mean,
being inside an ER is not enough.
Yeah, I would argue that it was. Like, even there's one episode where there's like this smallpox outbreak in the hospital, which, like, but it, like, is actually unrealistic because smallpox was eradicated in the 1980s, and this is supposed to be set in the 90s or the 2000s. But like, when I was watching this during like peak pandemic, peak lockdown time, like, the way it was so weird watching it and how realistic it was, and how they were trapping all the doctors into the room, it was mad, very surreal to watch while we were going through it in a different way.
A bit prescient. Yeah, I don't like that.
We have a listener who watched ER every Sunday night on RTE with their dad, and it was a huge part in their decision to study medicine in college.
Love it.
And is now really a consultant anesthetist. So there you go. Inspiring.
Actually, that is something. You know, I suppose these programs did inspire people in some ways. And actually, two of my girlfriends said, Trapper John MD inspired. So that's the reason I'm a doctor. I don't even remember that one. But anyway,
I remember
shout
the
out
name
to Tara and
Pamela. I suspect that I did see it at some point, but it's not jumping to the forefront of my mind. But I'm delighted to hear that somebody was inspired by it.
I was inspired by James Herriot and All Creatures Great and Small, but my father talked me out of veterinary, so that's why I went into medicine.
Moved on to humans.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
But it's true, these television programs did have kind of inspirational kind of roles, I suppose. So that's interesting.
See, I would think that All Creatures Great and Small might put you off.
Oh no, I loved it. Yeah.
It was lovely. It was a lovely, gentle programme, but you did get to see the rain and the big animals that weren't always friendly. Another listener says Casualty, Holby City, Cardiac Arrest, all on BBC were far superior. Cardiac Arrest again coming up, another listener saying it was the best medical drama. Now, House. I want to talk about House because this is very divisive, isn't it?
House is so funny. Like, I came to it kind of late, like the later seasons, but just again, like, critically well reviewed, I think. Starred Hugh Laurie and Olivia Wilde, ran for 8 seasons from 2004, and it basically follows Dr. Gregory House. He's this amazing but like really cranky doctor who can figure out conditions and like diagnose like way quicker than the rest of his diagnostic team. He himself relies on pain medication because of a leg injury, and my memory of it was like, oh, like a bit mad, but like good. And you were drawn to it because of Hugh Laurie being this really crotchety fellow, whatever. But it seems to be having this resurgence on TikTok of people watching it back and being like, why did we watch this? This is absolutely insane. The man was actually committing crimes in order to get diagnoses for his patients, was going for these the most unconventional diagnosis methods. It was just like the TikTok. It's just, it's so funny. He's constantly putting forward lupus as an option. At one point, he's getting with someone and he uses a surgical machine to remove the person's clothes. He resuscitates someone who has a do not resuscitate order on them. It's bonkers. Mm-hmm. House is bonkers.
I remember when that came out first and everyone said it was the bee's knees. Yeah. And it was the natural successor to Eeyore. You're shaking your head there at me,
no,
Maura.
I actually found it difficult to watch. Like, it celebrates his arrogance, and just from a professional point of view. And I don't want to kind of take the fun out of this, but like, you know, the worst trait in a doctor is arrogance. Humility is essential. He never talked to his patients, and he had a team of people doing it for him. When do you have five doctors working on one patient? Like, who has the resources for that? And like you say, he practically killed everybody first and then maybe brought them back to kind of near normal, and that was a celebration. You know? But the drama was there, yeah. But as a character, I found him really difficult to have any kind of feeling. He'd no empathy. Mm. And that was being celebrated. And that is the one thing you cannot do in a medical setting.
Someone else loves The Good Doctor.
Yes, I've heard that's good, but it's escaped. It's on my watch list.
Yeah, we'll put that on our watch list next. You want to give MASH a special mention?
Do you know MASH? You probably...
I think I was a twinkle
young
in someone's eye when MASH was on, I'm going to be honest.
I'd like to say that I don't know it very well. But no, MASH was just... It was. They really kind of muddled through, like, you know, the medicine of it was very basic. You know, it was wartime. It was this anti-war sentiment too, but it was funny. And it was... There was kind of this edge to it that they really had a political message too. I thought it was great. There were some great characters in it.
Yeah, but there you go, Fionnuala. Yeah. There's another one for your list. We've given you lots of things to watch over the autumn and winter. Dr. Maura Finn and Fionnuala Jones, thank you so much. We've got to take a break.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
And that brings us to the end of today's programme. Thank you very much for listening. And remember, you can catch up on anything you might have missed on this morning's show on the RTE radio app. The programme was produced today by Barbara Feeney, research by Amy Ryan, our broadcast coordinator is Jarlath Holland, and Tommy O'Sullivan was on sound. Let's head over to Shay.